Hello, welcome to the Thomas and Way podcast number 2. It is Wednesday the
4th
of January. Happy New Year. I'm Tony Way.
Yeah, I'm Reece Thomas, yeah.
You sound a bit down, Reece.
Not quite up to my spirits yet, no.
What's wrong?
That New Year blues.
It's raining outside, it's miserable, it's windy. The 4th of Firth was swinging.
What's that?
The bridge was swinging in the breeze. That's how bad it's been. I think some people have died. It is a bit depressing, actually.
What, they died on the bridge?
No, I don't think on the bridge, but they did die in Scotland, I think. I'm grossly uninformed to bring it up, actually.
Have you seen Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
I have.
It's good, isn't it?
Really good.
Over Christmas and New Year, I managed to watch some adult films that I don't watch adult films anymore. I mean, I haven't seen your film yet, Tony.
That's the most adult film out there at the moment, yeah. In terms of popular big releases.
Well, I went to see...
I wouldn't say it was my film either. I'm in it.
A bit.
Two bits.
Alvin and the Chipmunks 3, called Chipwrecked.
That is more adult.
That was all right. It was terrible. And I also saw Happy Feet 2, which is very good.
Ah, I'd like to see that. Robin Williams does nearly all of the voices.
He does three voices.
That's very good.
Yes, I like the idea that you get... it's quite a sad story.
Yeah, let's go, take us through it.
There's a lot of penguins, the emperor penguins, you see. They're all trapped in a kind of like an ice cave, as it were. That's an ice pit.
Yeah.
There's a pit very deep in the South Pole, and they're stuck and they can't get out. And there's another lot of penguins who are out, and should we start this again?
No, that's not. Keep going. This is good stuff.
Well, anyway, it's about them trying to... Some get out, and when they come back... Everyone's trapped in the ice.
And it's written by Julian Fellowes.
Is it?
I don't know. It sounds like it.
No, I watched this, and for the first time over Christmas, I watched Downton Abbey.
Yes.
Oh.
I didn't like it.
It's so boring.
We watched it on Christmas Day, me and my girlfriend and Steve Burge.
Yeah.
And Steve had never seen it before. My girlfriend's still got this weird thing that she keeps going, oh, he's going to die. Oh, it's going to blow up. Any character. Oh, it's going to blow up. Oh, they're going to come back. And I have to keep reminding her that doesn't happen in Downton Abbey. Nothing happens. The worst that will happen is the dog gets lost. And then 15 minutes later, the dog is found. And someone, you know, might get caught nicking flour.
Hang on, you say that, but when I turned over, was it on trial?
That's true, yeah. For a murder that happened earlier in the series. That's very true.
But he didn't do it.
I think, I've got a theory that the paper magnate... may have killed his ex-wife.
Right.
I think to stop the story. Anyway, let's stop talking about Downton Abbey. It's a show we both don't particularly like. No. Let's talk about a show that we both did like.
Over Christmas,
which was...
What was your TV highlights of Christmas?
TV highlights of Christmas was Sherlock.
Yeah.
I really liked
that's
Sherlock.
New Year, Christmas period.
So over Christmas itself.
Yeah. Let's do Christmas first.
I quite enjoyed Ratatouille.
Yeah, but that's a film.
It was very strange.
But it's not that doesn't count because that's Christmas film.
Okay, Christmas.
Can I say something to interrupt?
Yeah.
They showed the Harry Potter films in completely the wrong order.
They do that all of the time.
What's the point?
I know, it's mental.
You know, with James Bond you can do that, but you can't do that with Harry Potter.
No, and ITV keeps showing really good films too much. Like, they keep showing Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Which is a film you want to see once every year or two, and it'd be a treat. But if it's on one of the ITV channels every week, it sort of loses its appeal. You see bits of it and it ruins the film, I think. They're ruining Bond by putting them on all of the time.
But they always did. I mean, the thing about ITV this year, I mean, I watched Endeavour as well, which is New Year telly.
Yeah, I didn't see
which
that.
Which is the Young Morse. I went for that part. I went for the part of Young Morse. Mm. I auditioned for it and I didn't get it. And I also auditioned for the sidekick and I didn't get it either. And then there's also a Welsh character in it that was then cut out, which I was going to be.
So,
but they cut the character, so I would have been in it.
That's happened. Exactly the same thing happened to me with Great Expectations. I was going to be in that.
But they cut
the part. But then they hadn't cut the part. What? This is the thing.
They lied to you.
Well, they didn't lie to me. They had cut the part as a proper part. And they'd got an extra in to do the part. They cut down all of the lines. He literally said two lines.
And probably saved.
He looked good. But obviously, then they would have saved a load of money.
Did he look like you?
No, nothing like me. He was tall and older. So watch out for that Welsh character. He might actually pop up if he comes back.
In Inspector Endeavour.
Endeavour,
you know this obsession with bringing back the young version of people?
Yeah.
So they've done young James Herriot as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, James Herriot was young anyway.
Yeah, that was the point, wasn't it? He was supposed to be a young... He was a young vet going into the weird...
Who
It's like the really young. Is it him at college? I haven't watched it.
It's not even that. It's him at college, and right. It was everything so grey and dull. I mean, it's all so everything so. It's for old people. Old people's television, right? I'm not listening, but old people don't want to watch slow old things.
No, the thing is, what is old now? If you say someone's 60, that they class that as old.
No, you know what?
People that were 60, you lived in the 60s.
Yeah, I think now old is. I'd say old now is above 89.
Mm-hmm.
Up until 89, I think you've still got something in you.
Yeah.
I'd
say, well, yeah, later even. Sorry, I'm just like opening another can of beer.
For me, I judge everything on David Attenborough, mm-hmm. who's 85 nearly.
Mm.
And I think if he's still doing stuff, he's still climbing.
Yeah, going to the coldest parts of the earth. And
Yeah. I read a really good interview with him, and they said, what's the secret to your success? That boring question I was asking an old person.
Mm.
And he says, I wish I could say it was... I didn't smoke, and I did a lot of exercise, and I spent time away from girls.
It was eating children's blood. Was the answer.
I don't like the idea that David Attenborough says that girls make you old. Girls don't make you old.
I think it's
chasing girls is what he says.
Yeah, it's a sexist. He's allowed to be a bit sexist. He's 85, but it is that women make you worry and make your hair fall out. When everyone knows that that's children that actually do that, because you're going bald.
I'm not going bald.
You are, ever since you've had that.
I keep having nightmares that I wake up with grey hair and no teeth.
Well, you're doing all right. You've got plenty of hair.
I realise now, I did this thing with children, right? And when you have children, you'll understand this, people at home. But you start lying for no reason whatsoever, simply because you don't want to do things. So
right.
They'll say, like, oh, can I go to the park? And you go, oh, the park's closed because you want to go home. And I go, well, the park's closed, but there's children in it. I say, yeah, but they're... Well, it's closed, and they shouldn't be in there.
They're infected.
Well, no, and yes, they're infected. And they go, but so what happened to them? I said, well, the park keeper will come, and it'll tell them off.
Right.
And they might go to prison. And then my daughter started to get scared, thinking, well, if you're in a park...
Yeah, you open up a whole new can of worms.
In the end, I just let go to the park.
Yeah.
Because it was too hard to explain. Then things like... I noticed that things...
Well, it's like Tommy is... Not Tommy, what's it? Billy Liar. That a lie leads to a lie, it all goes... And yeah,
it's like
we can't remember what you've told them.
No, and they also now, like, you know, I know you're getting older when you go, don't tip on the chair, you'll fall back and crack your head open. And I say all the time, she tips on the chair, I go, don't do that, you'll fall back and crack your head open. I've even made up lies and say to her, there was a boy at my school who fell back and cracked his head open. But do you remember that? Do you remember being scared of that happening to you at school?
I think I was scared of it. I think it used to happen to me a lot. But I was too stupid to not do it again. So I'd always tip back on my chair and be told
off. Did you ever
fall? Yeah, loads of times. But
did you crack your head open?
Never cracked my head open. I hurt my head.
Do you know anyone who's ever cracked their head open?
Not personally, but I'm sure it must have happened.
When it happens, you get the idea it's like a coconut that your brain spills out. And
right.
What actually happens when you crack your head? You just get a little...
Fracture your skull?
Yeah, but it's bad enough, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not good.
You know, I want my daughter to crack her skull just by tipping on the back of a chair.
No, it's fair enough. And I can see the chair in question. Yes. There's not a lot of give in that chair.
No. Do you want to see the worst Christmas present I got this year?
Yeah, go on.
Okay.
I'll take a picture of it as well.
All right. Keep talking.
I've started building a blog for this podcast where you can see some of the things we're talking about. I'll try and put some pictures up on there. I'm going to start talking a bit less loud now, a bit quieter, because the door is open and Reese's children are asleep upstairs. We don't want to wake them up. That will be game over if that happens. Reese is, I think, rustling. I can hear Reese rustling in the next room. Reese is saying... Okay, Reese is saying, can he explain to you? This wasn't a joke present. This is a genuine thing. His mum bought him... Is that last bit? Because she thought... It's a genuine thing. His mum bought him because she thought he'd be cold in Sheffield. I'm about to look up. I'm going to take a picture of this now. In case you don't see the picture, I'm going to explain what Reese is wearing. It's a baby blue romper suit with a picture... of a baby, a very strange-looking baby in a bottle.
Look, even the feet.
He's got feet.
With padded, just in case you see.
Padded feet, like Totes Toasties style other sock. Let me get a good shot of the feet. It's an extraordinary present. Did you thank your mum? Smile sweetly.
Yeah. There's that thing you do, isn't it?
Let me feel it. Oh, it's very soft.
It's very soft. It also, it's quite flammable. It's cheap. It's obviously made by children in
But did you get cold in Sheffield?
Didn't wear it.
Oh, but were you cold?
I was cold.
You should have worn it.
Would you have worn this out?
No, out. It's for home, surely.
It is for home. We stayed in a place over. See, I was in Sheffield for the holidays for 3 weeks, and we were in the middle. We were in a place called Sheffield. And on the outside skirts of Sheffield is a place called the Peak District, which is a big area.
Big
of
area.
Park.
It goes right down to the Midlands.
It goes to the Midlands, but that's where people are killed and murdered, basically.
That's all that happens, though.
It's all that happens. And if you go around with a stick and you dig it in the ground and you sniff the end, you can, most of the time, smell the remains of dead bodies.
I was actually filming there for 2 days on Steve Oram and Alice Lowe's new film. I just literally did a cameo on it. And it is the Peak District is one of the spookiest places I've ever been.
It gets very dark at night.
Yeah.
Because there are no, like, isn't you burping?
I've got a burp, but I had some Marks and Spencer's dim sum, and they've given me the burps. That mixed with Red Stripe Lager. I can only apologise. I hope it wasn't picked up on the mic.
No.
But it is one of the, you think of the M.R. James area where we come from, which is the East Anglia and Essex area.
Yes.
That's quite spooky countryside.
Yes.
Peak District. You think that there's going to be a murder around every corner, a moiderer around every corner.
Well, you know what? You go outside, genuinely, you walk outside at night time, and it's so dark. And I got really scared the other day because, you know, when there's a security light and it came on without me walking past it.
Oh, right, that's worrying. It's probably only a fox.
It's probably a fox. But you know, and the foxes are dirty cunts because they go around, they eat all your fucking, they go through the bins, right? And they're not stupid because they don't eat the good bits. They just eat this, and then you have to pick up the debris.
Yeah.
I mean,
if they came around and ate all of the old bog roll nappies, boxes, that would be fine. But they only eat the bones.
The cut. Now, I had a conundrum over Christmas, which is, what do you do with goose fat when you finish with it?
Well, this is what I was going to... Let me stop you a second. I was going to ask what you had for Christmas dinner out there. Because have they got turkeys in
No, we had
Yorkshire?
Geese. We had a goose.
They don't have a turkey there yet. It hasn't come there from the New World.
No, they haven't got that yet. No, they still eat goose and swans.
Lovely. But they're allowed to eat swans.
They're allowed to eat swans. We were near a place called Chatsworth House, right?
Sounds
it's a massive big estate. And it's where they filmed the awful new version of Pride and Prejudice.
Kieran Knightley. Lost. Right, yeah, it's okay. Because there's so many of them.
There's so many, millions of them. And they filmed that there. And anyway, so we were in the house where they filmed all that, right? And do you know how much it costs to get in these places? It's £20
to just to have a look around.
Yeah, these people got enough money.
Well, they do and they don't. It just costs a lot to run a house like that.
Did you know that...
You sound genius with Dalek.
Did you know that Queen Victoria's husband was her cousin?
I did, yeah. I did know that. I think second...
No,
first cousin.
Actual cousin. Would you marry any of your cousins?
No.
Would you sleep with any of your cousins?
No.
Have you slept with any of your cousins?
No.
No. I did.
Which one?
Oh, several.
Several.
But I was very young, and
You literally just slept with them.
No, I actually did. No, I actually had penetrations.
Penetrative sex.
With one of them, who's a fireman. The other, that's not true.
Moving on from that,
can we start again?
Did you see the lovely posh logo I sent you? That's for our new posh logo for the.
This isn't as good as the last one, by the way.
It will be. You watch what's coming. Look, we've got questions. We've been sent questions.
Let's do questions now.
Well,
let me
thank Daniel Turner, who offered to make us a lovely new logo for our podcast because that one was rubbish, and he's made us a lovely new blue logo, which makes us look like cool dudes.
Should we start again?
No, we're not going to start again. And you can follow him at Deets. DEATS on Twitter.
What's he
Thank
got to
you,
say,
Daniel?
What's he got to say?
He has asked a question. Let me go. You can ask questions of us on Twitter. I am at Tony Paulway. You are at Reese Thomas OBE on Twitter.
That's right. Yeah, I wasn't actually. I wasn't on the list this year. Heard of Ronald Carter was, and so was Ronnie Corbett. Why not me?
List for what?
In the New Year's honours list.
Oh, I see.
Would you like to be honoured by the New Year honours?
Yeah, I don't.
Would you want to be Sir Tony Way?
No.
No.
But I'd probably take it.
Would you want to be Lord Tony Way?
Definitely.
Yes. Yeah. Baron.
Baron, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be called Baron Knight.
Yeah. What's the question?
Okay, we've got some questions. So you can ask us questions. Hashtag T and W pod. Hashtag TANDWPod if you want to do that.
How are they going to do that now? We're not even live.
No, because they'll listen to this and then it will remain on Twitter forever. That's the thing. You've got to be careful of your tweets, Reese. They're logged there forever somewhere. You should learn this more than most.
Yeah.
Okay. First question comes from Barry from Watford.
Oh, right.
Who we know is a very funny octogenarian from Watford. Octogenarian, right? He must be 90 odd by now. He's been doing it so fucking long. Anyway, he says, Tony, he says to me, but it's to you, me and you. What is your most hated, What is your most hated, commonly used expression and why? I've got an answer for that.
What's yours then?
Well, it's not so much an expression, but it's when people say myself and yourself. When they could just say you and me. And this is, it's a big thing that they do on The Apprentice. It's so annoying.
Tell me what you mean.
Well, it's thick people normally trying to sound more impressive than they are, clever than they are. So they say, that's not something that I would do myself. Or for yourself, would you like to buy one of these cans of lager for yourself?
Right.
No, for you or me. It doesn't make you sound more clever. It makes you sound stupid, if anything. That's one of my bugbears. I don't suppose that's a...
I don't like people who say... There's things like people... Where I don't like people who say, my bad. Oh, and I never use that. But people go, that's my bad.
And also people say it, and then most people go, what? And then they get embarrassed, and it's just an embarrassing...
I don't like people who say movie instead of film either.
But this is a problem. This is an issue. Because is film anymore? Reese is removing the romper suit.
I can't wear this.
It is extraordinary. It's hot. It's got him too hot.
It's too hot.
Movies aren't often filmed on film anymore. They're on digital.
It's a motion picture.
There you go. That's what movie means.
Movie's a motion picture. Movie. Yeah. What is moving? Movie.
Moving image.
For moving image. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I don't like that. What's the next question?
I've got another question. This is from Dietz. This is from the man that made our logo. Thank you for that, by the way, Dietz. He says it's a comedy question, but not a comical question. It's a question about comedy. And it is, which is the greater sketch show? I know the answer to this. The Far Show or Big Train?
The Far Show.
The Far Show. Although Big Train is very good.
Yeah.
That's simply asked.
Next question.
It's the same question again. Okay, but where's the first question? We can answer this genuinely. Can the questions be on any subject from Bobby Love 01?
Yeah.
Yes, they can.
Yeah.
They can, Bobby Love.
Well, I don't like to talk about... Tony doesn't like to talk about his career, though, do you?
No, that's
not a good. Tony doesn't like to talk about any, and I don't talk about.
Don't like to promote anything that we're actually in.
No.
We managed to not even tell anyone our Twitter names last time, really. So I think that's good.
That's not bad, is it?
Make it so we can just keep that core four listeners that are interested in
500 apparently.
About 500.
That's
yeah.
not bad. Are they the same
whether
person?
Whether they all listen to it is a different matter. No, I think it's different. I don't know. It might be the same person. Bobby Love One goes on to ask a proper question. If you could write just one episode of any comedy sitcom from the past, what sitcom would it be?
Oh, that's good.
Reese, what sitcom would it be?
Dear John.
Mm-hmm.
I like Dear John.
Have you got a plot ready? You got an idea for an episode?
Dear John, what happens is Dear John has to go to school because his son, who's at school, has been bullied by an Arab.
Right.
And basically... Because it's 1980s, like they're not, you know, Arabs in the 80s are depicted as sort of evil.
Yeah. Or
cheating type things. And then he basically makes, now this is a terrible storyline.
It's good so far.
So anyway, Dear John then says to the Arab.
I don't know if you keep going, Dear John.
So Dear John says to the thing, you can't be, just because he's an Arab, he's not bullying you because he's an Arab, he's bullying because he's a child, and it doesn't matter where someone comes from, it doesn't matter, that's the thing, you see.
It's quite public information-y. It's quite, I like it. It's a good idea. Dear John goes to school.
Dear John goes to school. There was a very dodgy Dear John where one of the teachers had an affair with can we start again?
No, we can't start again. We've been doing nearly 20 minutes.
Can you cut any of this out?
No, it all stays. I haven't got time. It took me long enough to bleep out the names last time.
I could have done a better story than Dear John meets an Arab.
Well, it's, you don't want to give away your good ones. You might want to use it in an actual programme. For the record, mine would be Only Fools and Horses, and it would be Granddad Gets the Plague.
And what happens to him?
They cure him. It's not the plague.
It's always something else other than the plague, isn't it?
Yeah.
I watched it over Christmas and I cried again.
Which one?
The one where he has a baby.
A Damien,
yeah.
That's a good episode.
And when he says, what is it? He goes, it's a little baby. That bit is funny, isn't it?
Phil Cornwall's in that episode.
Yeah. No, it's a different one. That's the one.
You sure?
Yeah.
Oh no, that's the really, really, really depressing one.
You read the press when they get stuck in the lift.
And Cassandra has a miscarriage.
Oh, God, miscarriage.
We said it last time, but the show really got much better when Cassandra and Raquel joined
it. Also, they're both really attractive, aren't they? You can see why they fell for them.
They are, actually. Another question. We'll get this last question. Yeah. We'll get them over and done with. This is from Bark Pamphlet, who does very good pamphlets. I've got a load of them at home. Very funny. He says, this is a scenario question.
Okay.
You've turned Copper's narc. You're placed in witness protection. What's your new name? Good question. Thanks, Bark Pamphlet.
I might call myself Bark Pamphlet.
Wow, that'd be confusing. Yeah, that's good. I'll call myself Ted Fuck.
Yeah, that's a good name. Why?
But it might be a bit ostentatious.
Would you spell P-H-U-K?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to invent my own personality. I'd like to change my name and start again somewhere else.
What sort of name would you... we've just asked that question. You'd be... call yourself...
if you could start again... if you could start again from beginning... you know, no one knows who you are. Would you miss home?
Yeah.
Would you miss your parents and your family?
Yes.
Would you miss... where would you live if you had to go... if you had to flee?
Oh, somewhere as nice as possible.
Where's that?
What's nice to live in England, though? I
could not leave it. You know, I could not leave London. Spending some time in Sheffield, which is a very nice place, but it's... you know, their top man is as big as my airing cupboard. It really is small.
Did you buy anything from it?
Well, there was nothing else. You can't buy anything else from there.
What were you looking for?
I was looking for some nice clothes. And apart from Marks and Spencer's, all you've got is, which is, you know, the clothes of Marks and Spencer's, come on, let's face it.
You have to be very, pants, socks, good.
Oh, even pants and socks are dull.
Oh, they're famous, though. World famous pants and socks.
Are they?
Marks and Spencer's are, yeah.
Does David Beckham really wear anything from Marks and Spencer's?
No, David Beckham doesn't wear pants.
What does he wear?
His bareness.
Do you think he's gay?
No.
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 Why do people say he is?
Who does?
The rumour mill.
That bloody mill.
The rumour mill has got a lot to answer for, isn't it?
There's too much grist in that rumour mill.
I mean, I would say that David Beckham isn't gay, yeah.
No, he absolutely isn't gay.
But he had sex with a lesbian.
If anything, he's too much in the other direction.
But he had sex with a lesbian lady.
Yeah, that doesn't... I don't think that makes him gay.
No, it makes her gay, doesn't it?
It makes her bisexual.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't think...
I also think it makes her fame hungry.
Yeah, I saw a thing on her over Christmas.
Was it pig spunk?
Was that what she did?
Yeah, Rebecca Lewis, she tossed off a pig.
When?
Do you not remember this? Quite famously, she was on the thing called The Farm.
Yeah.
Where, just after Big Brother came out, loads of those shows. There's one called The Farm.
Yeah.
Favour Flav was in it, the rapper. Loads of people, and she was one of them. And one of the things was she had to artificially inseminate a pig. That starts by tossing off the man pig.
They should do that on Mr. Bloom's...
She did it.
Have you seen Mr. Bloom's Nursery?
No.
It's on CBeebies, right? They should definitely have a bit... He goes, hello! Is a thing called Mr. Bloom's Nursery.
Yes.
And he goes, hello! He talks like that. And he's like... he looks a bit like Paul Kay, but wrong. And he goes, hello! And he has all these kids into his nursery, Mr. Bloom. He's about 30. And all the kids come round. He does look a bit... I mean, you wouldn't trust him.
No.
I wouldn't, personally. But
do you,
kids
okay.
do. But I love it. Hello. He goes, hello. He goes, this week we're going to be doing some artificial insemination.
Get your pig
and give it a little toss up. And all these little kids. I've always wanted to be a children's presenter and do the birthdays and say, this is from Derek, who's he's 3. And you go, what a shit card.
This is rubbish.
This is a shit card.
I think it's supposed to be, Bertha?
Yeah, Bertha.
But it doesn't look anything like a fucking Bertha.
No, these days it's gone beyond Bertha.
I know that. I don't know the modern things.
The birthday thing has been going for a long time, isn't it? Happy birthday.
It still
too.
Happens, does it? They still have a they room comedy.
Every day they have a birthday thing for, that's nice, for children. But it says at the beginning, you will not get your card back. So that's why they're a bit shit, because no one wants to try too hard. Secondly, you think, why can't you get them back? Why can't you get your cards back?
Thousands of them. They must get thousands of birthday cards.
Yes, but also, yes, you're right, but they can still send them back.
They could, but they're not going to. It costs a fortune. That would be licensed players' money.
Yeah, that's true. But or they could... I mean,
it'd be nice if... I think maybe the ones that get shown and mentioned should get sent back.
I agree.
Part of the prize.
That's
with true. A little signed autograph and, I don't know, an Oucho puppet.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I know from children. I know Hacker the Dog and Oucho.
Do you watch any of CBeebies?
I saw Pixel Face the other day, yesterday, which is very good.
What's that?
Spin-off for Sorry I've Got No Head, which is written by lots of people we know. And it's very good, and it's got a lot of the cast of Sorry I've Got No Head on it. Toby Davis wrote it. And
Horrible Histories, right?
Yes.
Let me just say something. I've got nothing against the programme, but that should not be winning a Comedy Award for Best Sketch Show.
You know what it makes me think? I think it should win because there's nothing else better than it out there.
Yes, but it's like saying, what's the best sitcom, Grandpa in My Pocket?
No, because there's better sitcoms out there than that. But there are no better sketch shows.
I'd rather watch Grandpa in My Pocket than Rev.
Well, that's personal opinion, but I think in general, there aren't many sketch shows.
Come on, if you would, what the listeners, what would you rather watch, Grandpa in My Pocket or Rev?
Rev.
Now, come on.
I've never seen Grandpa in My Pocket.
It's not funny.
I can't comment.
But it's no funnier than
Rev.
It's
not funny.
It is funny because he did. Clockwise is on at Christmas. Did you watch that?
I didn't. I haven't seen that in a while, actually.
Oh, it gets me so stressed. Because it genuinely makes me stressed.
It's not just the plot and the acting, it's the.
The constant clock ticking.
And you know that's in John Cleese's brain. Oh. And he's. I mean, that and Basil Fawlty and other characters done. He is mad, isn't he?
Well, in that, right, in Clockwise...
Because he does it too well.
No, there's a thing, he's mad, but there's a thing, in Michael Paine's autobiography, diaries, he says, I went to see Clockwise, came out, I had to pretend to John Cleese that I really enjoyed it, but he's just doing the whole Basil Fawlty thing all over again. It's quite funny.
Right.
And, because he is, obviously, and then, but then a couple of years later, he did A Fish Called Wanda, which is nothing like his kind of John Cleese thing. But when I saw Clockwise... Everyone in it is from Fawlty Towers. All the supporting cast, you'll notice a load of them are from Fawlty Towers. So, like, Mr. and Mrs. Twitchin. And this is really nerdy, isn't it? But there's a lot
That's
of people
good
in
people
it.
Like this.
There are loads of people in it you'll notice from Fawlty Towers. Whether or not it was down to him or whether or not, I don't know. But it's also the plot for that is slightly dodgy because he goes off. Do you remember the plot?
I remember it very well, yeah.
The school teacher, the piano teacher, Stephen Moore, Aidan Mole's dad, is having an affair with a girl from
the
school.
Who is she in the sixth form?
She's in the sixth form.
So she's probably, yeah.
She should be having sex. She should not be having sex.
Not with a teacher. She probably can be having, legally having sex, but not with a teacher.
No, that's wrong. I mean, my dad was a teacher for 40 years.
How many did he sleep with again?
Only about six or seven.
Oh, yeah, and they were all in the first year. So they didn't talk.
They didn't talk, no. They were fine. He shut them up quite nicely. If you're listening, Dad, this isn't true, but maybe it is. I don't know.
Man,
maybe
it's in Thailand.
Yeah, that's a you cunt. So, can we start this again? No, just joke. That was a joke. That was like me pretending to be bothered. No, anyway, so I watched Clockwise. But what was interesting this year, Christmas at times felt like Christmas 1987 or 88. When these films were on the first time round.
Mm.
And so I relived my Christmas youth by watching lots of these old programmes. I do think The Snowman has passed its sell-by date.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah,
I mean, come on.
And it's not... The song isn't... It's not even Anna Jones singing on it.
I mean, it's someone else called...
It's called...
What's his name? Peter Alty's name is.
Yeah.
Do you know the story
behind
that?
If I get told that on a list show any more times, I'm going to stop watching list shows.
There were lots of list shows on over
it's
Christmas.
It's spoiling Channel 5.
Channel 5 was
and
list...
ITV 2 was list show
ITV 2 had the top 40 Harry Potter moments.
And it also had Tweets of the Year.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Can I have that? Who's that? Can I have this one?
Yeah, that's it. You have that. If it's Carlsberg for you. It's a Carlsberg export. I bought 30. I only drank 4.
Why are they exported then?
It's just a name.
Difference. Are they stronger?
They're stronger, but I don't know why. It's called export.
I'm starting to kick in now. I'm starting to kick in the oils.
You mean you're getting drunk?
Lucy was in Absolutely Fabulous over Christmas.
She was very good. It was a good episode.
It was a good episode. The second one was... did you see the second episode?
I did, with the singer.
She was good.
The actress, yeah. What do I know her from?
That's Lindsay Duncan, who's a very famous actress. She originally, that part was going to be...
Was she in Harry Potter? No.
No, she was in... My favourite thing she was in was a thing called Shooting the Past. Stephen Polyakov.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
When he was really good. When he was good.
Yeah.
That is one of the best dramas I've ever seen.
I'll have to watch that.
And she was also in another thing called Perfect Strangers, which is another good thing, that also written by Stephen Polyakov. Again, when he was good and not boring.
So is he not good anymore? I don't know his...
No, boring stuff. Now. He always writes about upper class people being, oh, God, how they're hard done by.
Oh. They are, though, aren't they?
Yes, anyway, Lindsay Duncan, she originally that was going to be... famous actress. Famous French actress. You couldn't do it.
Bardot?
No. The other one. Catherine Deneuve.
Oh, okay.
And she couldn't do it at the last minute. Oh. So they got her in to do it instead.
You're supposed to say that. So she might not know. Lindsay Duncan's a big fan of this podcast.
Fuck it.
She tweeted me a lot about it.
Yeah.
It'd be fine.
Have you seen The Iron Lady yet?
Mm-mm.
Is it anything to do with that?
Yeah, I don't think.
Isn't it?
It's out next Friday. I'm really, really interested.
I mean, I read her. You know, when you go to when you stay at someone else's house at Christmas, it's like a guest. Not a
you
guest
didn't
house.
Stay at Maggie's house.
No, I didn't stay at Maggie's house. No, I stayed at a house.
Maggie's Den, number 10. Do you know there's an advert, just as a side note, we'll come back to this. There's an advert at the moment, you know, there's loads of bingo adverts. They lots of, especially ITV1, Brake Bumper's a bingo site advert.
Yeah.
And it says number 10, Tony's Den. It hasn't been Tony's Den for fucking ages.
Is that what it says still?
It still says number 10, Tony's Den, number 10.
Oh, right, because it's, yeah, well, it should be called now David's
David
Den.
Or Cameron's Den. It's been Prescott's Den. No, not Prescott.
Oh, Prescott Gordon said Brown. Something very funny. Do you read his Twitter?
I do read his tweets.
His yes. tweets. The one he said, I wished, because Rupert Murdoch is now on Twitter, is his old news.
Yeah.
But he said...
not Wendy Deng isn't Wendy Deng, but you'll all know this by now.
Eh?
The Wendy Deng isn't
oh, it's
Wendy
her,
Deng.
But that is him, isn't it?
As far as I know, it is.
He said, what's his... John Prescott put on his Twitter, I wished you, I did wish you Happy New Year, but I left it on my own voicemail for you to
oh, that's very good.
Very funny. I mean, he said it better than me. John to James Prescott, Alan!
A thing that always made me laugh about John...
Do you know why they call him 2 Jags Prescott? It's because he actually keeps 2 real-life Jaguars in his garden.
Is that Mike Tyson?
Yeah, I've turned to Paul Merton. Yeah. And he that's why they call him 2 Jags. He goes...
The scary thing is he physically has turned to Paul Merton. I'm just telling the viewers at home, you have actually turned into Paul Merton.
Paul Merton, again over Christmas on ITV2, which I don't know why it was a mainstay of my... Because we only had limited digital channels, right, where we stayed.
ITV2 was the most glamorous channel
it you
It
was
could.
The most glamorous channel. They played all those old comedy pantomimes they did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fucking hell.
They're better remembered than watched, aren't they?
They weren't even good remembered. Oh, come on now. I watched a tribute to Pat Butcher. Do you see that?
I did a bit. I saw the show. I saw her going out.
Right, but the way she talks about it, like the way everyone
back
talks about it.
That's what they kept saying. Actually, what are we going to do? David Wicks came back. A bit more excited. You're always a fan.
Listen, I tell you what. When I was a younger guy, he was the man. I mean, he was the man I wanted to be when I grew up. Michael
you
French.
Wanted him to be. You wanted to be David Wicks. You wanted to be the Crime Traveller.
Crime Traveller, written by Anthony Horowitz.
It's a good show, if I remember right.
It was quite good. And,
Hello, Mark. No, that's Nick Cotton, isn't it?
Hello, Mark. But, you know... when you see those old clips of EastEnders and how none of them really change, apart from actually, no, they all look exactly the same. But then I started looking up Martine McCutcheon just to see what she was up to these days.
Yogurt, mostly yogurt.
Oh, is that what it is?
She's
eating too much fucking yogurt, I tell you. Because she's blown up. She's ballooned, isn't she?
She's blossomed.
She had it all at her fingertips and she was a madam.
What went wrong?
Well, what happened?
She might come back. She might just not want to do it anymore.
She can't come back to EastEnders because she was killed off and she'd love to come back.
Yes.
And apparently.
Very visibly killed as well.
Very
There's
visibly
no
killed
she
off.
Could
and
be
she demotched. Didn't want to be killed off like that.
Well, they never and really do.
No,
they
didn't. But Mel Young.
Didn't. Pam St. Clements said the other day she didn't.
Oh.
Originally didn't really want to be killed off, but went with it. She had chats with Babs. Babs said, oh, don't let him kill you off, darling.
Is Babs dead?
No, Babs walked, so he can always come back.
Yeah, right.
Unless they kill you off screen like they did with poor Kathy Beale.
Can she come back?
No, she died. Died in South Africa, as they used to say in Easter.
Didn't they go out to see... Who went out to the body to see a body? No, there was a whole storyline about Angie, wasn't there? And they went out to...
Yeah, I think she died off screen as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the biggest one coming back was old Dirty Den Wicks.
Dirty Den what?
Should we tell that funny story?
What funny story?
About the
person. Yeah, we might have to bleep the names. No, you can't, because people will know exactly who it is.
Oh.
Save it for the novel.
All right.
I don't think you can say that.
So I can say somebody said this.
No, because it would be so obvious who it is.
Yeah, it's true. It's a good story, though.
You can. Don't say...
Somebody.
Where it happened, or why, or where, or when.
Okay,
but you know why.
Somebody.
It's a good story.
Somebody. Basically, the day after Dirty Den, Mr. Leslie Grantham, you know, he went back to EastEnders and he was caught. He slagged off the whole cast, saying they were rubbish. It was over, and he was on a web chat to a woman. And
just as Captain Hook.
Was he just as Captain Hook at
the
time?
He was in pantomime.
I was in panto. And he was basically doing things. He was playing with himself. He was masturbating, the commonly known term, whilst talking to a lady on the internet, a stranger. And he was slagging off the whole cast of EastEnders. Next day, it was the front page news. Him on the front of the News of the World Was it News of the World? Probably
dressed
was.
As Captain Hook.
Dressed as Captain Hook, holding his cock in his hook.
Hooking his cock.
Hooking his cock off up and down. Anyway, so he came...
Having a web wank.
Having a web wank. That's what they call it. And the next day he went in. See, edit this down, this will be good.
I'm not editing it.
34 minutes of dross. He came in and he went to work the next morning, obviously, to do EastEnders. And someone else who was in the car said to him, he said, oh God, I feel terrible. He had tears in his eyes and he said, I feel awful about what I've done. And this person said, oh come on, look, it's not that bad. It's not as if you've killed anyone, is it? Now, to fill you in with a backstory, Leslie Grantham is a convicted murderer.
Yeah, in Germany.
In Germany, he killed a taxi driver for shortchanging him. What was it?
He shot him anyway.
He shot
took him a longer route.
He shot him in the face.
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, but we don't know the details.
I don't know. I know he killed a cab driver.
I mean, I don't blame him. I mean, times I've wanted
bloody
to kill
cab drivers. Bloody cab driver. Cutting you up.
Oh, anyway, he killed a cab driver. So obviously, when she said this, when he or she said this to that person, to Leslie Grantham, he said, "It's not if you killed anyone." He went, "What?" And he looked at this person, and then this person said again, "He or she didn't know what to say," and it was a very awkward moment. That's a good. I mean, it's a better story told by the person who was there at the time, who will remain nameless. But it could be Ian Beale, it could be Dot Cotton, it could be Ethel Gretchen.
Well, you know, you tell people that they're a member of the cast. Maybe need to keep it. That's it. That's as far as we're going. We won't narrow it down any further.
No, but there you go.
But it was Dr. Legg.
Now, Dr. Legg, what, he wasn't killed off, was he?
No, he's still...
He's missing a trick.
...around, I think. I heard a story about Dr. Legg, or the man that played Dr. Legg.
Can you remember his name?
I can't remember his name. But apparently he once went... I heard this from a reliable source. Went in for a meeting with a commissioner at a TV channel... And I think this is right, I'm sure it was Dr. Legg. Went in there and managed to get this after a BBC party, got a meeting with his commissioning editor, really had a great idea for a show. They thought, oh, they're EastEnders fans. I'd love to meet him anyway. Let's hear his idea. And he turned up, apparently, he walked in, sat down, said hello, and then went, this is the idea. It's the best thing. It hasn't been done for years. This is going to make your channel. This is going to make you as a commissioner. And then proceeded to go, and then moo, and did all these noises. And he'd scheduled this hour-long meeting with a commissioner because he wanted to do animal impersonations as a TV programme. Better than some of the rubbish that's on these days.
Days on radio bleeding for.
Imagine that. That must be so embarrassing. What do? You've then got to sit there for ages and... At least pretend you're giving it. And I'm pretty sure that was Dr. Legg. I hope it's
true. The worst thing I've ever...
If it's not true, I'm sorry, Dr. Legg.
The worst thing that ever happened to me, meeting-wise, there's another Reese Thomas, right?
Oh.
There's another Reese Thomas. I didn't know this. I was doing that sirens, right, and I had a phone call saying, wants to meet you.
Lovely man.
To talk about ideas. Yes. Do you know him?
I've met him a couple of times, yeah.
I didn't like him.
That's your friend out the window.
I thought it was horrible. Anyway, he said to me, he goes, so this is a man behind like Four Weddings and a Funeral, all that kind of... Well, he's not really behind those, because the man behind that is Richard Curtis, the writer. He's just the producer. He's like a postman, basically. That's what producers are, postmen. They take the ideas of the writer and they post them on, in a way. No, producers are great people.
Anyway, well, some of them are.
Some of them are.
Some of them aren't. Same with writers. Same with actors.
So this guy, calls me and he goes, hi, Reece, sit down. And I went, hello. I thought, oh, guys, I can't believe I come for a meeting here. And I looked at all the posters on the wall and he went, so you've been working on SNL then lately? I went, SNL. He went, Saturday Night Live. I went, no. He went, ah. He went, you're not directed some VTs for Saturday Night Live? I went, no.
Oh, no.
And gradually, it dawned on me and him within seconds that he got the wrong Reece Thomas.
That's tough that every other Welshman's called Reece Thomas.
Oh. Anyway,
there must be a lot of them out there. There's a juggler called Reece Thomas.
In the end, I was even half an hour, and I've overtaken him. But there's this other Reece Thomas, there's now a Reece Thomas who's an author, and I've got another thing through from another fucking director, big director, producer bloke, who made Moon.
Oh yeah, that's good. Yeah. That film.
So I get a thing from him saying, I've already contacted your agent, and I think you could nail this script. And I thought, oh, brilliant. And then I realised he's got the wrong bloody Reece Thomas again.
Bloody.
No one asked for me.
Oh, Reese.
Anyway.
Very sorry. Well, that's depressing. You have got... It's not going to any details, But you are writing 3 film scripts at the moment. So
all in production.
Don't feel too sorry for yourself.
All in production.
All in production.
Yeah. I've decided to ditch television because the head of comedy at the BBC hates my guts.
Be careful.
Oh, she doesn't like me. This woman at the BBC doesn't like me. She never has done. So she doesn't make anything I do. In fact, she ex-Bellamy's people and so I think, fuck it, film then.
Well, yeah, why not? It's better, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not. You know, she's probably right. I don't blame her. She's probably got a very good point. But yeah, she everything that comes through that I do, she has a blind spot to.
Mm.
But you know, In with the Flynns is good.
But everything involved doing impressions of Chinese people.
Animal impressions,
mocking the disabled,
yeah,
that sort of thing.
Did it?
No, I'm joking.
Should we start again?
Mm. Start again from
now. What have you seen this thing with George Lambs?
Yes, I saw the first one.
What is that?
The bank
thing.
It's a slightly overcomplicated, but not actually complicated quiz.
So what happens in the bank
money
job?
Is one.
So tell me what happens in the bank job.
Well, I'm.
Please, can we start again?
No, we can't start again. People.
I've said
well, now I'm going to have to bleep it 4 times.
Now they'll think I've said which is worse.
I'm leaving that one in. I'll bleep all the others, but I'll leave that one in.
No, seriously, can we delete?
No,
we'll cut from where we started again.
I'll see how it goes when I listen back. There was something else I wanted to talk to you about.
Please cut that out.
That was your films.
Oh, yeah.
But we can't go into too much detail, but that's very exciting.
Yeah.
It seemed to me that Sheffield, despite not discovering Turkey yet, was a lucky place for you.
Lucky
commissioning
place for
wise.
Me. I like to think that, luckily, that it was my own talent that made me lucky. But
you can. There must be.
Hang on a minute. I'm wiping this whole drive with my sonic screwdriver.
That's a good sonic screwdriver, that one. Which doctor is that from?
This
Matt?
Is my favourite. My current favourite doctor is Matt Smith.
And you've got his.
And I've got his little.
Let me take a picture of it for the for posterity.
This was actually given to me by. I won't lie. I bought it from the doctor.
So what are you going to lie?
I was like, Stephen Moffat gave it to me.
Put it up by your face. I'll get you and your sonic screwdriver. Make it look good. Got it. Lovely.
Can we start again?
No, we can't start again. I will edit.
Edit the bit where we started again.
Hmm. That's a good idea.
Let's pick up from where we said let's start again.
Well, I'll pick up from somewhere. Don't worry. Don't worry about the picking up. If it's got a bit noisy, it's because the back wind door is open and it's raining and blowing a gale out there, blowing bloody murder.
Yeah, do you think when a wind comes that Gordon Kaye shits himself and just sits in a padded room?
I think he does.
Gordon, I watched a bit of
I think he does
the Porridge movie.
Yeah.
I said movie. Ah, damn it.
You fell into your own trap.
Yeah, but what? It's a disastrous thing, isn't it?
I can't remember. Is that the one where they go out?
It's when they play football. It's basically Escape to Victory.
Oh, yeah. It's good, I think.
Escape to Victory is a good film, isn't it?
It's alright. Sylvester Stallone is not very good at it.
Do you know that Robert Downey Jr. is turning into Sylvester Stallone? Have you noticed?
Officially.
Well, he looks like him now.
So when Sylvester Stallone's too old, he will just take over being Sylvester Stallone.
He will do Rambo. I thought, why not do Young Rambo? They're doing Young Everything Else.
Young Everything Else, yeah. So it's all because of Batman, isn't it? Batman.
Yeah. I believe the term is called rebooting. What was the first thing that was rebooted? Spider-Man was the first.
Was it Batman? No, Spider-Man. But it was a reboot and it wasn't, because it hadn't been done for so long. It had never been
Superman
done properly
was
as a
reboot.
Film.
They rebooted that.
That was after, definitely after. And the guy who's now doing the new Superman is rebooting it again.
So who is
and
it?
That's the Dark Knight guy.
How can he reboot it even more?
Because they didn't really reboot Superman. They just started again, but they did it exactly the same way.
Same music. Is it going to have the same theme tune in the new film?
I don't know. I genuinely have no idea.
They should do.
And you could say that Smallville was a reboot of Superman as well. There's been a load of them. I've seen some of them. It's all right. It's a bit tweeny. It's a bit it's a bit childish.
What about rebooting something that hasn't even... What about rebooting... Do you remember Young Sherlock Holmes?
Yeah.
Do you remember... What else could you do? Young Morph?
Young Morph.
Yeah. Morph as a baby.
Inspector Morph was one of my favourite sketches you wrote that never got made.
Never got made.
Well, it could still get made. They made Endeavour now.
A bit out of date now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Morph is in people's memories.
No.
Have you seen Half a Christmas?
No, I haven't seen Half a Christmas.
Seen Romeo and Juliet?
No, I haven't seen it.
Have you seen Chicken Little?
No. What's Chicken Little? Is that like Stuart Little?
Yeah, but with a chicken in it. what are you going to do now then for the rest of the year?
I don't know. I haven't got anything planned. I've got one date in my diary, and that's on January the 17th.
What's that?
To do some ADR recording.
What's that for?
For Game of Thrones.
Oh, get him.
So hopefully I'll be doing another series of that, and I'll be doing another Dragon Tattoo, hopefully, and that'll be all right. Yeah. And yeah. Hopefully there'll be another Man of Wars, and hopefully there'll be lots of other stuff to do.
Yeah.
None of it's confirmed.
Two glasses a day.
Yeah, that's right. You're only going four.
Do you think that's rubbish?
I don't know.
You know.
It sounds like it's the sort of thing that was made up by a Frenchman. That.
Can I tell you something? That was
so I've just been hit by a sonic screwdriver.
You know this whole thing about units is all bull rubbish, bull crap?
Because it works differently to different people.
It doesn't mean anything.
No, right. So, I didn't know that.
No, they just put a limit. There's no need.
They reckon that they're trying to push for no booze at all for driving, which I think is a good idea.
That's a good idea.
If you can have, what's the point of having one beer?
No one drinks one beer driving.
You don't even drive though,
so it doesn't affect you.
But I don't want to be run over.
You think about passing your test ever?
You know what? We had a bit of a New Year clear out of stuff, and I found a couple of old passports and my own one and only provisional driving licence.
When did that expire?
It goes on until 2034.
Right.
But I don't know if it's usable now.
Should we start again?
I think I can drive. I think legally, according to that, I can drive a under 50cc moped.
Yeah,
with L plates.
Have you ever been into motorbikes?
No, I fell off one as a teenager and broke my collarbone.
Yeah, I mean,
never wanted to do that again.
There was a period, wasn't there, when we were in teenage years, where a friend always had a motorbike and I had to go on one.
And you always hurt yourself.
Never liked it. No,
they're terrifying.
Generally, I was put off by Rick Mail.
That was a quad, though.
I know, but
they're more dangerous.
Well, they're heavier, aren't they?
They flip. Jet skis
shit me up, man.
Ooh.
Have you been
never
on
been
one?
Been on one, though.
No. I'm not. Are you a thrill seeker, Tony?
Not really.
Did you bonk on New Year's Eve?
I didn't. No, I was at with company with lots of other people.
Even better. In for a penny, in for a pound.
Yeah, but I think no one else would have enjoyed. Nobody would have enjoyed that.
I can't see the point of a three-way or a four-way thing. I mean, I don't see it.
No. It depends who it is, doesn't it?
Who would you like to be in a three-way with?
I would love to be in a three-way with Ted Rogers and Dusty Bin.
Yeah, that would be quite funny.
I think you just made the noise of your answer. Matt Smith.
Matt Smith and Arthur Darvill. That's who I want to be in a three-way with. Arthur Darvill. Yeah, come here, Arthur. Get here. Ooh, get that up there. Ooh, get... Open that. Seriously, can we start?
Well, we're nearly finishing. We're nearly at the hour mark.
See, I think we should be really good and not have it live. We should do another half an hour and do a new half an hour. Really,
Do you want to keep talking for another half an hour, we can. That's not a problem. I can just edit out things that you don't want to be on there.
I think I've warmed up now. I could do it better now.
Keep going. Let's keep going. There's no need to stop.
Let's make
the hour mark is just a. Just it's
but
not
a
real
bit of a pain for you, isn't it?
No, not at all.
Now you can do definitely a best of this, can't you?
Yeah, I can. I will just remove out some things you said that you don't want to be heard.
All the lumpy cumber stuff and parting a man's arsehole.
You want that gone? That's staying.
Is it? Yeah. Shall I tell them about my dream?
Which dream? Yes, I know which dream you mean.
Listen, I had a dream once. Okay. Oh, hang on.
What age were you?
When I was not about 19, I had a gay dream.
Yes.
And I'm not a gay man, right? I'm a man who likes ladies, full on.
Is a gay dream like a daydream? Was it at night?
It was at night. And I had a dream that I was in bed with, I'm having sex with Sean Connery. As in, Sean Connery at the time would have been 69.
You're thinking Dr. Jones.
No, more The Rock. The Rock time. So you're kind of in The Rock. So his hair looked good and he was still pretty fit. And I'm in this dream, and
he was still kicking ash.
And I'm in this room with him, like a bunk bed thing, almost like in a trailer park. And I'm having, and I'm there, and I'm literally, I'm looking down, and I'm seeing what's on offer for myself, what I'm about to give Sean, which is not bad, I must say. I mean, it was pretty.
You were happy, you were pleased with yourself.
I was pleased with myself, and but I'm trying to sort of put it into Sean Connery's bottom, right, finding a way into it, and because it's the first time I've ever done it, I'm going, I don't know, it's not really working for me, and then my dad in the opposite watching. Going, looking embarrassed for me, and saying, "Oh, Reece, listen, let Sean do the work. He'll find it." Is what he said to me, meaning Sean will wiggle his ass around. He'll find it. You don't have to put it in. He'll find it for you. And that was my dream. And I came in. I told everyone at the next day. Do you remember?
I do remember very clearly.
It was a dream that I've never forgotten.
No, you sounds like it's still very vivid in your mind. What do you think it meant?
I think it was a test.
Well, I think it means that you really love Sean Connery in The Rock. Definitely. Yeah. That's the one thing we take from this.
Yes, I think so.
I don't think that you fancy Sean Connery.
No.
I think that it works on a much
But I do level appreciate a man's chest.
Yeah.
I mean, if you see a good man's chest... I mean, I'll tell you the best men's chest.
Do you like the barrel chest, the old ones from the 50s and the 60s?
No, do you know I like a lean chest? Do you know whose chest I like? I would say... Harrison Ford in Frantic.
Yeah.
He's got a good chest.
You're obsessed with those Jones boys.
in Frantic, Harrison Ford is lean and he looks really good. And I thought, and that's a good chest. And I've often said I'd quite like to lay on his chest and let him sing me to sleep.
This is a father thing, isn't it? Yeah. It's like an uncle, a nice uncle rather than a...
But an uncle doesn't want to... I don't want to sleep with my uncles.
No, that's what I'm saying. But it's, you want him to sing you to sleep.
I want him to sing me to sleep.
What would he sing?
10 green bottles.
It goes on a bit.
It does go on a bit. You know, Show Me the Way to Go Home? Is it Show Me the Way to Land or Sea or what? Foam,
I think.
What does that mean?
Isn't that the
foamy water?
The sea when it hits the beach. I think.
Yeah, it must be that.
I don't know.
Have you ever had a gay dream, Tony?
No.
No.
Not, I don't think you've had a gay dream, though. I think you've had a... very specific Sean Connery dream.
Yeah, yeah. But why do I want to lay on Harrison Ford's chest?
If you're a dream analyst, send us a tweet if you can fit it into 140 characters.
What do you think it means?
I think that it means take the sex thing out of it and concentrate on your dad being there and you feeling disappointed. I think you're worried about, at that age, which a lot of kids are when they're teenagers, is that you're worried about making your dad proud of you. I don't know where the Sean Connery bit fits into it.
No, I think you're absolutely right.
Because I think you might have seen Sean Connery as a bit of a father figure too, I think.
I saw him once in an airport in Edinburgh. And this is about 5 years ago. He's so small. And you think of him being... He was just like a 75-year-old man. Mm. And he had a little jumper over his shoulders. And I said to Lucy, it's Sean Connery. It's fucking Sean Connery. And she was... You know, she didn't give a... She's not interested at all. She didn't really care. All right. I mean, no, but it's Sean Connery. That same day we saw Daniel Day-Lewis and Andrew Marr. It was a fucking busy airport,
Andrew Marr tops the list.
Andrew Marr is a lovely... He's one of my favourite people. I've been... Over Christmas, like, do you watch This Week?
I do, yeah. Yeah, when I can.
What are they on? Those VTs. Those VTs.
They're extraordinary.
Oh, yeah. God.
And the people they choose to do the VTs as well.
Oh, I saw... Listen to this, right? I'm sorry if you get a chance. I watched... Over Christmas, they put on the whole of the... the best thing I saw over Christmas was the Leveson Inquiry on BBC Parliament. They showed the whole thing.
I saw quite a lot of it, yeah.
But in between it, they've got recaps. They played this... There's a man... Oh, God. There's a bloke. They've got this presenter. It's really boring to explain. But I've never seen anyone who cannot present anything as bad as this man in my life. This bloke comes and goes, hello, this is how Parliament works. And he looks like a really fat Joe Cornish, right?
Right.
And his head's to one side, and he's got no charisma whatsoever. And he's like a Parliament... some people in...
That's Mr. Parliament you're talking about.
Is that his name?
Yeah, he's called Mr. Parliament.
No, it's not him. Is it him?
Yeah, he's called Mr. Parliament, yeah.
Have you seen him? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mr. Parliament. I don't know who you're talking about.
He is terrible. Cut that bit.
I'm not cutting any of this. It's all staying in. I was going to go back to you were talking about John Cleese earlier. Have you ever met a python?
I've met Michael Palin.
I was in a room with you, Evan Michael Palin was in it, but you met him at a different time.
Mm.
What's he like?
He was really nice. I sat next to him at dinner.
Did you have a chat?
I had a proper chat with him. I saw him. His son is a curator of these, well, was, the it might still be, the John Soames Museum in London. Is very good. It's on Thingy Square at behind Holborn. What's that square called?
Red Lion Square?
No. A really nice square.
Bloomsbury Square?
No. Ah.
There's lots of squares. Russell Square?
No. It's a square. It's a famous square. Anyway, there's a museum called St. James.
No, I do know it.
John Soames.
I can't remember the name of the square.
In something in the inn key.
It's Gray's Inn.
No.
No. I don't remember.
Jury's Inn. No.
That's a hotel chain.
It's a something in the fields. No. Something in the... Anyway.
Yeah.
It's a square in London, and there's John Soames was in the 1700s, 1800s, whatever he was, bought, I don't know. He bought loads of artefacts, and he's basically turned his house into a museum. And the curator of this museum is Michael Palin's son,
right?
And I knew him through a friend, and anyway, so we went to this thing, and Ian Hyslop, he had a load of Hogarth paintings up, and it was all about Hogarth and about satire, and Ian Hyslop was doing a speech. And afterwards, we all went for a meal at Black's, and I sat next to Michael Palin, and there were quite boring people sitting around. You could tell Michael Palin was being polite. And I started talking to him because I was talking about comedy, and then I asked him things, and then I said to him, "Well, why don't you act anymore?" Because I told him what I'd done, and he was aware of the far show and stuff. I said, "Why don't you act anymore?" I think he's mad. And he said, "Well, the last time I acted was Fierce Creatures, which was a very unhappy experience. He didn't like it at all.
Right.
Because I think at the time, what happened was when he filmed it, it wasn't as good as A Fish Called Wanda. And I think he didn't really like the part he was doing. And I think that, he didn't say this, but I've read since that he feels this.
Right.
And also, I think his wife got ill during the making of it, and he had to come back, and it was not a good time, sort of thing. And the whole experience wasn't very good. Anyway, so he said, I'll never
do it. And then there were troubles on that. Didn't they do a load of reshoots
of it? And it's not that bad. It's not as good as...
There's a bit you can tell that John Cleese has... Or I can't remember if he's got a completely different moustache.
Yes.
For 20 minutes of the film cut throughout.
But he's doing like a Rupert Murdoch thing then, isn't he?
Absolutely, Klein. Yeah.
And
Does he play his father in it as well?
Yes, he plays two
and
parts.
And he plays a fake father
as
well.
Yeah, and all that. Yes. Oh! Shit, I thought that was a bat. It's a bit of bad.
That is terrifying.
Fucking hell. Anyway, so I was talking to him, and at the time I had this idea for a programme, and I said, I think it'd be quite a good idea I had. And he went, and he actually said to me, genuinely true, he said, you know, always send me things, because, you know, I'm, if something's right, I would do it. He said that.
Well, have you done that? You should do that.
I haven't done it, no.
Oh, get on that.
Maybe I should.
Yeah, that's an open invitation. Well, I think we're coming to the end of this now. That's been the Tim Wilson Way podcast number 2. I'm going to edit out the bits that Reese wants me to edit out.
Can we start again?
That's our new catchphrase. So this is goodbye from me, Tony Way.
And I'm not that pleased with what we've just done.
It's always going to be this way. Oh, and follow us on Twitter, at Tony Paul Way.
This ain't going to do my radio career any good.
What radio career?
How dare you?
This is your radio career.
Exactly.
You've got 3 films to write. Don't be worrying about doing radio.
Fuck you and everyone else. Fuck you. No, I love you.
So that's a fuck you from the Thomas and Way podcast. See you in...
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Bye.